If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
312-981-7200 for Bob Bertog. Hey, Mr. Bertog, how are you today?
Doing good, John. How are you this week?
Good. It's been dry, but there is rain in my long-term forecast. It looks kind of probable. What's your advice for us today?
I'm seeing the same thing on Friday, and it figures because I'm going to the Cubs game. It's going to get rained out.
Yeah. We should have had you go to the Cubs game last week. So does that mean I don't have to water my plants or lawn?
You know, the way this dry weather's been coming, they've been putting rain in the forecast a lot, but it's not really producing that much rain. For May, we were 3.5 inches below normal, and June hasn't really started out with any rain at all. So keep an eye on things. It's going to dry out quickly.
You know, I noticed that some of my lawn in some spots is starting to show like it's getting brown, but a batch of water would turn it green again, right?
Pretty quickly, yes. Yeah. Especially with the cooler nights.
Yeah. And I wondered then if, well, I don't have to keep watering it to keep it alive, if you will. I can just wait for the next rain and that will do it. Or should I maybe keep ahead of it? Does it matter?
With the grass, it doesn't matter. The grass will go dormant. Unless, of course, it was just put in last year. Then those roots are still very shallow. So if it's a newer turf, then yes, then you need to water it. But if it's an established turf, you can go ahead and let it go dormant if you want. But keep an eye on your trees, because remember, we had a drought last year, so the trees are still thirsty from last year. And just to tell you the truth, like this weekend, I was watering all my trees with a deep root feeder.
Yeah. And when you say go dormant, though, I don't want it to go dormant for the whole year, you know, for the rest of the season. I do want it to come back so that it's going a little bit brown. Is that going dormant? And if it does, it'll get green again with rain, right?
Yes, correct. It's going dormant. So you explained it perfectly. Yes, it's going dormant. It's not killing the plant, but it when we get the rain or the moisture, if you decide to water, that will get the plant perked up again. Because remember, more than 50% of a grass blade is water. So what you're seeing is just that water getting desiccated out of the plant. That hence it turns brown, not green.
So I have been watering my trees and some of those things. I just put the hose, like you said, every quarter, like at 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock on a clock face,
right
around the drip line. But it just seems to require a lot of patience for that water to get all the way down there. You like that deep water feeder where you stick the thing in the ground? Is that right?
Yeah, because the surface roots are fine. You're going to get it by just laying the hose there. Why not get it into the root zone? Put it in about 8 to 10 inches, where you know you're going to get some roots that are really going to suck up that moisture.
And that's just anything I buy at the hardware store or the lawn and garden center, right?
Yeah, it's called a root feeder, and they even have the capsules that come with it with the fertilizer. But for now, I'm just recommending just use it for the water feature. The other thing too, though, don't turn it on like at full blast. Like, still want to do it as a trickle. If you do it at full blast, you're just going to be blasting water through the root zone, and the plant's not going to take it up. It's like feeding a baby. You just want a nice slow feed through the bottle.
847 said, hey, Bob, what's a good hardy dense shrub I can plant to replace my boxwood that was killed off by the blight?
Wow. If you had boxwoods there and they survived, I would put them boxwood back in and then put it on a preventative program. It probably had the Volatella blight, which is very treatable. You just treat it every 10 to 14 days with a fungicide that has copper in it. There's a bunch of brand names, but copper is the active ingredient to take care of the Volatella blight.
So you think you could still go with boxwoods there? I guess it depends on, too, the sun and shade. We planted some lilacs last year, and they're doing pretty well. Are those pretty hardy, Bob?
They're very hardy, and they like the sun. So boxwoods will do well in both the sun and the shade.
Yeah, that's kind of where we got them. Kevin, what's your question this week, my friend?
Hey, Bob, I have a spruce tree. I don't know exactly what type, maybe like a Norway spruce, something like that. It just doesn't look like it's doing great. I don't know if it needs to be trimmed or pruned or what, but what can I do? Is it just need some more water? How do I make the spruce look healthier and better, Bob?
It'll definitely want the water. And then take a close look at the needles. If the needles are kind of turning a purplish,
okay,
then that could possibly be a disease called rhizosphera. But without seeing it and knowing exactly, it's a very good host for rhizosphera. So So keep an eye for the color of the needles if they're turning purplish.
Did you put one of those fertilizer sticks around the perimeter?
No, I was thinking about you, though, John, because I know you're a big advocate of those. I need to get a couple of those.
Yeah,
and they work.
That's been good for me.
And they do, but make sure some of them are labeled for evergreen and some are labeled for deciduous. So make sure you get the evergreen one.
Got it. Thank you, Bob.
312-981-7200. What about you, Mike? You're on WGN with Bob Bertog. What can we do for you, Mike?
Hey, Bob, how do I get rid of a wild violet weed on my lawn? I've sprayed it with a couple different things, including Trickloper, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, and I just can't get rid of it.
So Triclofor should have done the trick. So make sure you read the label and you're putting it at the highest effective rate. And violet's one of those ones where you want to spray it and then wait 7 days and spray it again. Did it wilt at all when you sprayed it, or did it not respond to it?
Not really, but you should put the sprayer not on a jet kind of a spray, but on a try to get all of the leaf. Is that right?
Yes. The more of the plant you can cover, the better.
Okay, maybe another application. Mark, sorry about that. Good luck to you. Bob Ault.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
The lines are ringing. You ready to answer more questions from our listeners?
Yeah, let's see what we got.
By the way, how long should I set each zone on my sprinkler system?
A lot of variables. Depends if it's sunny, shady. Are they rotor heads or are they mist heads? Generally speaking, let's just get a pie tin that's about an inch and a half in depth and then just put that out there. And when you want to put down an inch and a half a week, so use that as your guide.
Inch and a half of water per week.
Okay. Yes.
Kathy, you're on WGN with Bob Bertog. Kathy, how can we help you?
Hi, John. Hi, Bob. I have boxwood bushes, six of them, and the tips of all the twigs, the leaves are all curled up. And I read on the internet that was an insect nesting thing, but I can't figure out how to get rid of them.
I have not seen any boxwood. It's called boxwood psyllid, and I have not seen any yet this year, but that doesn't mean they're not out there. You can apply an insecticide, but because the leaves are curled, the insect is inside there. It sucks the juices out of the leaf, and then it curls itself, and it kind of protects itself. So you want to make sure you want to get an insecticide that's systemic. So as the psyllid are feeding, they're sucking the poison right in with the good stuff. So it will eventually kill them. But you want to use a systemic insecticide.
That's a word that's going to be on the box. Systemic.
Yes, it'll say it on the box. There's two types of insecticides. There's contact, where obviously if it comes in contact with the insect, it kills it. Or systemic, which means the insecticide is in the plant, and when they feed on the plant, they ingest the insecticide.
All right, thank you.
Okay, good luck. Yeah, in some of our bushes, we've got these brown branches that are just dying, and I've been trimming them out, but now I've got holes in my bushes. I hope that doesn't tell me the whole plant's dying, and just for some reason that one portion went bad, Bob.
Could just be that one portion. Maybe did it have snow on it? Maybe in the winter.
Yeah.
If it looks like it keeps getting worse, then I would definitely get an arborist eye on it.
Okay, producer Pete, who's next? 312-981-7200. Let's go to. Go ahead and hit it, Pete. There you go. Hey, John, you're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Two questions to ask the guy. I've got two evergreens. What's the best way to wash water these days? And I water them every night, but I send the spray up towards the needles, thinking that's the way the rain would do it. I thought about doing it down at the base, but I've got one tree. In fact, I got two trees that are kind of leaning towards my neighbor and then one towards the house. And if I water it down too much down there, I loosen up the ground. So a heavy wind comes along, over they go.
So you want to do, if you're watering every day, it's too much water for an evergreen. Evergreens don't like wet feet. I would water no more than twice a week. And you want to do it at the base, right, around the drip line, but at a slow trickle, you don't blast it with the hose. Kind of how we talked about before, slow and low.
A lot of us like the idea of watering the tree or plant the way God would do it, and that is sprinkling it on, and it feels refreshing to the plant. I don't know if there's any good sense to that or not, Bob.
Well, the tree does transpire, and it will take the water through the leaf, but it doesn't. That's not the way it wants to be fed.
So around the baseline there, huh?
Okay. Yes.
Thanks for the call. How about Pat? You're on WGN. Pat, how can we help you? You're on with Bob Bertog.
Oh, I'm desperate. ChatGPT tells me a weed I have is called Japanese knotwood or knotweed. And I've had every year it comes back bigger and stronger. And I put 30% vinegar on it yesterday. And I'm not having any success. How do I kill this thing?
I would leave the kitchen chemistry in the box, and I would go to the store and get a non-selective herbicide. Vinegar is I can't speak that it works or it doesn't work, but I've heard people say they've used vinegar and had success. I've heard other people say they're just wasting their vinegar. I would get something that's labeled for that weed, and most likely it's going to be a non-selective herbicide, and then try that, and I bet you get results.
Do those reeds grow all over or just in little spots?
It grows like a shrub. And I have it in two different spots of the yard, different corners. And when I look up Japanese knotweed, it says it'll take years to kill it because the roots are so deep and strong.
Hmm. You can't just dig it out, huh?
I've done that, and then it comes back. I've paid, you know, landscapers to take it out. It comes back.
Wow.
I hate this thing.
Yeah, it's got an extensive root structure. I'm not 100% familiar with the weed, but it sounds like you got a nasty one. But eventually, a non-selective herbicide will take it out.
Well, that's the thing. You've said before, Bob, that when you pull a plant out, if the root remains, the weed comes back. And better to be patient and let the weed take the toxin in, and then it goes all the way down and kills itself, right?
Correct. You want it to translocate all the way down into the root system.
Okay, so that's something like Roundup or whatever is on the label, non-selective herbicide. Good luck to you on that. Let's go from that call to who's next, Pete? Maybe Christine. You're on WGN with Bob Bertog. Hi, Christine.
Hi. I have a beautiful a blooming rose bush for the last 25 years, and for the last 4 years it has not had one blossom at all.
Wow.
Does it have leaves on the stem?
It has leaves. I've trimmed the dead stalk. I've trimmed it down a couple times, like at the end of the season, and it comes up beautifully, but no flowers.
Only thing I could think of trying to do is maybe get some fertilizer on it. It could just be hungry, where it's only producing enough energy to push out leaves, but not flowers. But I've never heard of it not producing one flower.
Yeah, not one. I mean, it was beautiful. I mean, really abundant. And then the last 4 years, not one flower.
Do some rose bushes have a lifespan, Bob, and it'll still be a bush, but it won't do flowers anymore? Does that happen, and now you just got to get new bushes, or no?
Well, usually you'll see dieback where the stems will completely die out. But I know what you're saying. Like, is it just parts of the body working? No. If it's producing leaves and stuff, it should produce flowers. And if they look all wilty and tired and old, yeah, then the plant is declining. But it sounds like it's vibrant with leaves.
Good luck to you, Christine. Maybe get the right fertilizer down. Bob says it might need more food. How about Joe? You're on WGN with Bob Bertog. Joe, what can we do for you?
Hi. I have a trumpet vine that is trying to kill me. It was beautiful. 20 years ago, I got this little pot with some trumpet vine, and I planted it on the north side of my house on a 10-foot trellis. And last year, I noticed little trumpet vines coming up in the lawn, and it went under my 20-foot deck and came up, and now there's like a trumpet bush on the other side of my deck. I'm fearing for my life here.
Yeah, clearly.
I love it. I don't want to kill it.
Well, you could prune it, though, which you should. It's an extremely invasive plant, and you need to take it every 3 years, and you want to cut out a third of the oldest canes to keep the plant under control. If you let it just go, it's going to go, and it's just going to keep going. So you want to teach it a lesson and say, okay, I'm going to take a third of your old branches every 3 years and cut them out, and then tell the plant to start over.
Well,
you should be able to keep it under control.
Could she find the part of the vine that's going under the house or under the patio or whatever? And
oh, sure.
Yeah,
you just cut that. One off.
Yeah. The roots are like heading for the backyard. Mm. So If anybody wants some, I'll dig some up for you.
Free giveaway.
Good luck to you. But I think the takeaway from that call, I hope that helps, Christine, is that, what did you say, every 3 years, Bob, you want to give it a serious?
A serious in the wintertime. You want to cut out a third of the oldest and thickest canes, and then you're telling the plants we're not going to let you get out of control. You got to produce new stems, and they're going to, and you're going to keep it under control.
Because the vine's trying to kill her, Bob. I don't know if you heard that, but that's...
I did hear that.
Sounds serious. Bob Bertog is the president of the Bertog Landscape Company. All right, that's Bob. All our lines are ringing, but we're out of time. Let's do this next week, okay?
All right, we'll answer them next week, John. Have a great week.
Thank you, sir.